But regardless of where we've been or what we've heard, aren't you glad for this? I mean that in my heart. And it's like the sister said, you may express one way and not express another way. But there is one absolute that everything has to be based on. And that is Christ is risen from the dead. Let me ask you this. Did he ever die? I'm not being funny now. Christ. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about Jesus now. See, Jesus was made both Lord and Christ. He wasn't born Christ, he was born Jesus. But you see, he was the Son of God before he came the son of a carpenter. You were the Son of God before you become a son of man. Well, we were. I heard a brother say this years ago, that Christ died. No, Christ didn't die. And of course, he was taking that scripture to accept Christ being risen from the dead. He wasn't talking about a tomb somewhere or a graveyard somewhere. He was talking about the tomb. Yes. That seed's always been there. I brought that seed from glory. I'll tell you this, I am that seed from glory. They got incorporated in this physical body that I am. Aren't you glad? And I heard Greg say one time, the church has been so busy trying to save the world. That wasn't what you come here for. I can tell you by the scripture, he sent you here to be the light of the world. He sent you here to be the life of the world. Not to try to get everybody saved. And I told somebody this not long ago, if you want to get rid of the darkness that's in people's mind, go in there and turn the light on. And I believe that voice that we talk about, I believe that voice is now skipping on the hills. It's invading the tombs of our thinking, if you want to use it that way. And it is literally raising the Christ out from among the dead. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't he? Our whole concept, and I've been in this more years than I care to think sometimes, but our whole concept has been based on, we've got to do the works that Jesus did. I beg to differ with you. I didn't come to do what he did. Father sent me here to do what he sent me here to do. Jesus did what he come to do. He said he did. And so when I come to the end of the road in this terra firma, if I ever do that, I want to say this, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. I'm not going to try and tell him I did what Jesus did. That's a lost cause, folks. I'm not going to get his glory. And yet my glory is compared to his glory. Because in John 17, he asked the Father to share with us the same glory that he had. Oh, y'all come on here. There ain't no doom and gloom in this thing for me. Maybe you, but I ain't no doom and gloom. I tell you what, I'm enjoying living more than I ever knew a man. I think sometimes it's a sin to enjoy living the way I enjoy living. Don't be a law against it. And the more I get rid of religion, the more I enjoy living. Isn't that something? Little guy walked up to me one time and grabbed my hand and said, I'm a Methodist. I said, I won't tell nobody if you won't. So here comes the sonship. We're sonship. Show me. Or we're kingdom. Or we're this. Or I'm a Christian. Or I'm a Buddha or whatever you are. Don't put a tag on my neck. Don't put no lapel on me. Just let me be who I really is. And I asked somebody, I said, was Jesus the Baptist? I said, no, but John was. So I guess that's where the Baptist got the Baptist. And I guess Peter was a Pentecostal from the second chapter of Acts, so that's where the Pentecost came from. But you see, I might have come through their veins of thinking, but my origin wasn't there. I originally came from Father's house. Didn't you?
Yes.
Now, everybody wants to go to heaven. I ain't going to heaven. Thank you. You helped me there. And the sister's talking about that never died much. I remember back in late 1950s, there's a whole group of them in Truman, Arkansas. See, and they had a truth. They just didn't understand it. Because the concept is if you go to a holy ground, you die. But I can tell you this, the only way you can die is to eat Moses' manna. And the Father fed it to him. He said they did. He said your fathers ate manna and they died. Oh, hear me. There wasn't a sin until Moses showed up. Well, there wasn't. Paul was preaching and he said, and when the law came, sin revived. And by it slew me. It was the law that killed him. The very thing that he was preaching killed him. I'm having fun. I don't. I didn't finish, so go back to the Song of Solomon, and I'm not going to stay here 3 hours like me and Gary did last night. I gave him order this morning to cut it short. We got a long way to go. Y'all might well smile. Some of y'all haven't smiled since the day before yesterday. I can tell by that wrinkle that you got. If you smile, it'd do wonders for your wrinkles. It won't do anything for your bald head, but it'll sure help your wrinkles. I'm gonna come up with a formula of transplanting hair. Start shaving my hair and come up with a special made paste. But I got some spots that needs it. Song of Solomon, and then we won't stay there but a little while. And I'm trying to quit lying. But I have good intention. When I say I'm going to quit, I have good intention, but I just forgot what I said. I really do. Just briefly, Chapter 4, verse 3, the lips, a scarlet thread, or a thread of scarlet. The lips. Pardon me? Tell me what y'all told her this morning.
The bit was in the scarlet thread that had the thin spot to the thin white lips.
Ooh, y'all missed it. That's why they died. But you see, scarring is redemption. And don't you throw a stone at nobody, but I'm going to tell you something. You are your own Savior. Help me, boy. Help me. Fine brother, you are. Put some lipstick on, somebody. Now, look at it. You really believe that. I know you do. You are your own Savior. If you're not your own Savior, how can you be a Savior on Mount Zion? Somebody said, oh, gee, I'm not taking anything away from Jesus, thank God. But you see, your salvation depends on what you believe. And then what you say. Come on here. With a heart, man believeth. But with the mouth, confession is made unto. Unto. You can believe until you fall dead, but until you speak unto what your heart believes, you won't ever. Hello? And you see, it's in your lips. We won't get away from the mouth for a minute, but before there can be any milk and honey under the tongue, we've got to know that there's a scarlet thread there. In my own life, in your life. And I told somebody, I don't know if I ever heard a faith message in my life like that man preached last night. I don't ever heard anything like that in my life. He used the same scriptures that we used back in the late 70s, what we call the so-called faith prosperity message. But did you understand, did you ever notice that he pulled the cover back off of it? He literally broke the alabaster box and let the ingredient in there just come out. It wasn't just scripture, something that you do. He got the life out of it. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the alabaster box to be just open up. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The seal has been broken. The alabaster box has been broken. And the pressure on it, it's always been there. It just never had a chance to come out. And if you look at that particular story, it was reserved for a particular time and season. We can go a long way there. You see, the reason you couldn't abide in some things you heard years ago, it wasn't the season. And I don't know what to do with this, but I hear this. He changes the times and the seasons. But it's all according to His purpose. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. You tell me what you're going to do with that. It says it is God which worketh in you, both to will. Somebody said, oh, we got a free will. Prove it to me. We got a choice. Show it to me. I've had people say, don't you believe we got a free will? I said, there is no such thing. Well, there isn't. If you read this, you'll find there is no such thing as a free will. Well, somebody said, I have a choice. You may think you do, but I can show you in Romans chapter 5 that it is divine influence on your heart that makes you choose and do what you do. He said, I'm living by faith. No, you're not. Now, if you're in God, you're not living by faith. Read Romans chapter 5 again. By faith, you're justified, period. He said, by whom you also have access, by faith, into grace wherein you stand. Grace is that divine influence on your heart. So every decision you make, you're influenced to make it. And I'm not going to stay here, but that influence will come from one of two sources. It'll come from the house of Moses or from the house of the Lord that you are. In Hebrews chapter 3, there's two houses standing. One's a servant, the other's a son. Read it. And some people still say, I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm not a servant of the Lord. When I left Moses, I become a son. This ain't strange stuff, is it? Somebody said, and like you said last night, see, we were taught if you were poor, you're humble. Man, I must have been the most humble man in the world. Well, we were taught that. And if you suffer, you're suffering for the glory of God. Man, if I tell my old hungry belly that sometime, well, I didn't know where I was going to get my next meal. I mean, but you see, it was a concept. It was an influence that influenced my mind. The lips. Go to verse 11 in the same chapter of Solomon. And I know I'm repeating something, but I want to. In between the lips in verse 3 and the lips in chapter 11, there's a whole lot of things takes place. The neck is dealt with. It's like a Tower of David, which is a will. That's what the neck refers to. And this may not, this is not a blanket statement, but for me, this is what the Lord let me hear in my own heart. For years I was confused. It was my will and God's will. That's what I was taught. And that's what I believe. But when I began to understand something, there is no such thing. If Christ is in me, and he's been risen from the dead, that's within me. Where can I fit in me and him? Now, we shall die. We're one with him. If we're one with him, you can't have your will and his will. It is the will of Father in you. Now, you don't have to believe that if you don't want to. I want to and I believe it. I have wrestled and for cold, agonizing hours. Father, show me your will. Have y'all ever done that? I was so afraid that I was going to miss the will of God. I didn't know that all the time the will of God was speaking in me. I was taught that I had a will and God had a will, and I had to bring my will to submit to his will, and there was a constant warfare between the wills. And it's all right here. Come on. And when I understood, there's not a dozen minds. If you're in God, there's only one mind. And that's the mind of Christ. But you don't know that if Christ has not been raised from the dead within you. You still got to have a dozen minds, carnal mind, natural mind, spiritual mind. One day you got one mind, another day you're working out of another mind. And I know I'm being funny, but you know that's the truth. It's amazing. We was talking this morning. It's amazing how people say, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. I've heard people say that, and they were just tangled up. as a lost cat in the barbed wire fence. And bleeding almost as bad. I'm free. Yeah. I'm meddling, aren't I? I'm having fun meddling. You might well laugh at me. But we haven't known what freedom is. We've done everything we know to do to get free. We used to sing a song, if you want joy, you got to leap for it. Did y'all ever leap for joy?
Yeah, we have.
And when the leap was over, the joy left. Gary and I was in a meeting up in Tennessee, a year or so ago. And the theme was, somebody run for Jesus, as though he couldn't run for himself. Isn't that amazing? And see, the third is, if you run for Jesus, you get free. Might lose a few pounds. Well, let's go to verse 11. Somebody stick your hand up when it's my time to quit. Him. You would not talk to Carol. I'm going to tell you, you've been a bad boy. The lips, dropped as a honeycomb, honey and milk are under the tongue. And when that revelation hits you, you'll quit being hungry and thirsty for anything. You'll come to understand you didn't come to feast. You come to be a feast. Let me ask you, are we really ready to change our whole culture? And I like what she said. Everything we've ever done. I'm ready to change that thing. I really am. I'm really ready for the voice to start getting in those mountains and hills and leaping and skipping and just see. But we've been told so long that we're hungry and we thirst and so we just go expecting somebody to feed us. And then if they don't feed us what we like, we get the bellyache.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, that's what happens. But you see, in reality, you didn't come here to be fed. You come here with milk and honey under your tongue.
Yes.
You are literally the Canaan land. Come on here. This is the only Canaan land that God ever had in mind.
Yeah.
Somebody said, oh, there are giants there. Yeah, but if you understand, the scarlet thread that's in the tongue takes care of all the giants. By the time you get to the milk and honey, there ain't no giants. I'm not trying to kill your giants. They should be dead. Really? We used to sing a song about David taking a stone and hitting a giant. If you'll ever notice, he didn't kill him with that stone. He just knocked him down. You see, the bad thing of that, we've knocked him down and started singing and dancing about it, and all of a sudden he raised up again. You've got to decapitate him. He won't give up. I tell you, if you deal with him just right, you'll never have another giant in your land. I'm not fighting giants. I'm not fighting anything. I've got some milk and honey. There's a land of Canaan. And you see, in that land of Canaan, there's a river that never runs dry. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me. It's here. And it's as much in you now as it'll ever be. You've got all of God that you'll ever have. Can we hear this? Somebody said, oh, we don't have his fullness yet. Then argue with this. It said, of his fullness have we all received. It said, in him, the living word, dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You're complete in him. You argue with that. When is that going to take the place? When there's one more carrot dangled in front of you, you've got to do one more thing, sing one more song, preach one more sermon, go through one more ritual, and then you can get the carrot. That's a bunch of stuff. The land of Canaan is flowing with milk and honey. Eat your heart out. He told me it's time to quit, so I'll quit. Directly. Go to Galatians, and if you will, and I will, because I will hear. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know if I can stand a week of this or not. I don't know if I could or not, really. Y'all think y'all could? There should be some resurrection day playing with me. And did you ever notice that it never said that that Christ raised you from the dead? It is Christ raised from the dead within you. I tell you what, there's going to be a whole lot of folks this morning on resurrection morning. There's going to be a whole lot of people this morning when everything don't come around the way. And I think I shared that. I heard somebody say they were going to sue the church for lying to them. Might be a good idea. Somebody file a class action suit against all of us lying preachers. And I'm sure that kept God awake all night. I tell you, one beautiful thing about for me in these type fellowships, it brings me to face to face with some reality checks. What do I really believe? What do I really believe? Now I'm going to tell you this, and you already know this. What you believe and what you say is what you become. And he said it well last night. He dealt last night with casting down imaginations. If you look at that word, it means image making. Cast down the image making. Not so much the images, get rid of the thing that makes the images. If you don't deal with that which makes the image, you can get rid of an image. Tomorrow he'll be back again. Oh, yes. And this was spoken to my heart by the word of the Lord in my being. A lot of people who speak in tongues don't know God. They worship a concept that they have of God. And that's why when that concept don't answer them and do what they ask that concept to do, they get frustrated. One dear preacher friend of mine got mad. He said, where is, and he had some tragedy in his family. And he said, where is the manifested sons of God? And yet he was teaching kingdom his own self. And it's going to be amazing to let us when we find that our images that we have about who God is, when we find out that image is not there anymore, and it's almost like Paul, we worship sometimes an unknown God. But the reality check is this, when I see him as he is, I'm like him. Well, in order to see him as he is, I've got to know once where he is, not I've got to know who he is. If you don't, it's like buying a pig in a poke. You've got something, you don't know what you got. Does it make sense? But when the image making has been taken care of, there are no more images. And then you see him as he is. Oh, hallelujah. It is. And when you see him as he is, there's no more warfare. There's no more casting down anything. You don't cast down anything. Once you see him as he is, you quit casting down anything. You come to recognize everything already under his feet. You come to recognize you're complete in him. You don't have to overcome anything. He did. You're in him. The only overcoming you have to overcome is you. And when you overcome you, you understand that he's already overcome all things. He put all things under his feet. What are you worried about? My Father. Brother told us this morning, he's such a handsome guy because his name is Ray. He tells us this morning my experience he had when he come to the Lord and got in church. They told him he had to be delivered. He said, from what? So, I mean, not there like he says, but he goes to the pastor. And a buddy of his told him, said, you need to be delivered. So he goes to the pastor and says, so-and-so told me I need to be delivered. He said, from what? He said, I don't know. But I guess they proceeded to deliver him. To this day, he don't know what he was delivered from. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, there's a favorite scripture, but God. Man, if that hadn't been there, wouldn't we all be in a mess? But God. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. I shall be glad when kingdom preachers get this in our spirit, won't you? If you be overtaken in a fault, and I can speak this out of my heart, you can say it out of your heart. If I can't restore you, there can be no judgment to your house. There can't be. Because restoration is to correct or to judge. And it was said like that, you judge after the flesh. And when you do, you're gonna reap. It'll come back to you. You see, if I don't restore you, I can't judge you. Because if I judge you, I restore you. Yeah. Judge literally means to correct. And if I judge you, I'll correct you. But in correcting you, I'll restore you. I cannot judge you out of the flesh. It won't work. I don't care if you smoke pot 15 times a day, if you drink 15 gallons of moonshine. I can't judge you. And I don't know whether you want to hear this or not, but you know this to be the truth. Look at the pews this morning and see how many young people are in our pews. You ever ask yourself why? We raised a standard so high that they knew they couldn't live by it. And the standard that we raised was as phony as what we tried to preach to them was. And when I finally understood that, my two older sons, my oldest son was about 14 years of age. When it finally dawned on me what I was doing as a pastor to him. And when it dawned on me, if I'm doing that to my own two kids, what must I be doing to all the kids that come to my church? And after a session of repentance and weeping before God, I made up my mind, made up in my heart, that I'm going to let my kids be kids. And if you're a preacher's kid, you know that's against the law. There's this one. If you're a preacher kid, you're an oddball. You can't dress like other kids. You can't talk like other kids. You can't be as other kids. I wouldn't even watch my older kids play a game of football. I've regretted that from the moment that the truth of that hit my heart. They're my kids. Why couldn't I go scream and yell and clap my hands and get it? Hey, they're my kids. Somewhere in that time frame, I made up my mind that the devil, whoever he is, a church system, whatever it is not going to get my kids.
Amen.
And some of you have got kids, and I feel this in my heart here. Some of you have got kids that you don't know what in the world you're going to do with. There's nothing you can do except purpose in your heart and know this in your heart that your kids is as much ordained of God as you are.
Yes.
And in their time, in their season, their light will shine.
Hallelujah.
So leave them alone.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Don't pull them into an altar. Get them on their knees and leave them alone. Yes. If you do anything, turn their light on. Let that resurrected Christ in you that's being raised from the dead within you go into the tomb of their mind and begin to resurrect them out of their death. Is this all right? Galatians 6 again. Verse 2. Bear you one another's burden. And so fulfill the law. Are you reading this? You say, Jesus, it said the law of the anointed. I need it. I won't. There is a separate, absolute, sovereign, independent law of the anointed.
Yes, sir.
That Moses can't touch.
Mm-hmm.
The Ten Commandments can't touch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sovereign law. That is the sovereign will of God that worketh in you. It is sovereign and independent of anything and everything.
Yes.
It is not subject to laws of reasoning. It's not subject to any law. It's a law that belongs to the anointing.
Amen.
That enables you to bear the burden. I just said something I never said before, and I see you say you ain't never heard it before. You can't fulfill the law of Christ until you know how to bear a burden. And it's the burden that the anointed bears. Oh, come on here. I was in a meeting. Actually, I was pastoring the church. Had a great big fella. Tender-hearted. 250 pounds. Not much education. Hard working guy. With Jesus' shirt off his back. Standing in a service one Sunday night. Another brother was sitting in front of him. And the brother in front of him had got the prognosis. He died. And I love what this brother said last night. If you look at that bad foot there that he carries, the doctor says, but God. We'd all got the prognosis that the brother was dying. I don't remember now what the situation was. And we was, I don't know, preaching, worshiping, doing something. Well, all of a sudden, this great big guy that never showed any emotions. Always quiet. Began to cry so hard that he was shaking. He couldn't quit. And when he did, everybody, what are we doing? We stopped. And he is total oblivious to anything around him. But he reached over and laid his hands on the man in front of him that had been pronounced to die. And here's a cry that come out of his heart. Part of it was my fault because I didn't know. And this is what he said. God don't let Joe die. If you determine that somebody dies, take me. He wasn't speaking out of an emotion. It was coming from a heart of belief. And what he believed, he was saying it with his mouth. You can take this where you want to take it. But we don't know yet. We don't yet know really what's in that heart and what's going to come out of that mouth. Because what's in that heart, and you say it with your mouth, you watch it, it'll come to pass. Everybody. We didn't nobody praying for Joe. He didn't pray for Joe. He just said, God, if you're determined to take somebody, don't take Joe, take me. The end of the story. God never took either one of them. You figure it out. But it was in the heart. And it came out of the mouth. That's the milk and honey that brings restoration. But for time's sake, let's go to verse 5. And you'll see almost a contrary or a contradiction. Because in verse 2 he said, bear one another's burden. Verse 5 he said, every man shall bear his own burden. Now, if you don't understand something, a burden is not some heavy load. The only burden that he was ordained to carry in the Scripture was the Lord. The burden bearer in the Scripture was known as a man who carried the Word. And here he said, every man is going to carry his own Word. Well, you go home and find it out. I mean, in the Scripture, the burden bearer was somebody who carried the Word. He was considered a burden bearer. And sometimes I can carry His Word. Sometimes me carrying His Word won't have no effect. I'll give you an example. Woman had no kids. Man of God came to the country. They made him a room so he could spend the night when he come by. He says, what do you want? Well, we don't have any kids. He said, okay, that's over. You're going to have a son. Remember the story? He didn't pray about it. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to amaze you someday when your prayer language dries up. Nah, you missed me. You left through again. It'll be amazing to you when your prayer language dries up one of these days. And you're going to find out that God never gave it to you to start with. And I don't know how many I've had. And to find out that I lost them. Have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and you found it easy? And then you go back and you start praying, all of a sudden you can't pray? Honest, how many of you have ever had that experience? You pray, and man, it was easy to pray, and then all of a sudden you try to pray, and all of a sudden you can't pray, and you thought, oh my God, what's wrong with me? I can't pray no more. The little boy grew up and went to the fields to work with his dad. Got a headache. Every time I open my mouth, there's no rabbit jumps up out there. But all of your headache starts in the field. He was given by the Lord, and yet he had a headache. He wouldn't have had a headache if he hadn't gone to the field. Went home. Mama touched him on her lap, and he died. God gave him to her. And he died. Somebody said it well. We said, if God don't do it, it can't be done. She takes the boy up and puts him on the chamber, puts him in the bed of the prophet. The old one of the servants said, go get me a mule. Said, I'm going to get on this mule and you're going to drive him, and I want you to drive until I tell you to stop. But don't you quit driving this mule. I don't know how long they rode. But here comes some of the questions from the folks. Is somebody sick at your house, or is something wrong with your house? And her dead son laying on the bed of the prophet, you heard her say this, all is well. It came out of her heart. It came out of her mouth. She could have said, my son's dead, I'm going to go get somebody to pray for. All is well. My God, hear this. Hear this. All is well. It doesn't matter what. All is well. Goes down the road. Elijah sees her coming and sends his servant. And I said that to say what I didn't want to go. The servant had a staff in his hand. But he wasn't a prophet. And she refused to accept second best. It doesn't matter what the circumstances tell you, as long as you know in your heart that that's not the truth. She wouldn't leave him alone until she got to Elijah. You see, he couldn't carry Elijah's burden. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the Lord. And the whole preceding verses is based on teachings. It said, let him that is taught in the Word. Now you can say Scripture if you want to, and I love the Scriptures. But there's a whole lot of teaching in the Word. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth. In all good things. It would almost appear like he is saying, student that was taught, communicate with your teacher. Did you ever wonder what that word communicate meant? I know what I thought it meant. I thought he was talking with you. But communication could be holding hands. It can be a touch. It literally comes from a word, a root word. It is that which holds together. One translation said it's a wheel that holds all things together. Now remember, he that is taught in the Word communicate. That's a subject. The full definition of it says this. To become a part of that which you have been taught. So you that are taught in the Word become a part of that which you have been taught. Amen. That's what it says. Amen. To become what you have been taught to become. You all be quiet on me. If you're taught in the Word, then become what you're taught in the Word. That's what it says. Just become everything that you came here to become. Yeah. And you really have no choice in the matter. I'll say this. How many remember the old TV ad, the oil filter, the Fram oil filter? Y'all remember that? Pay me now or pay me later, but you're going to pay. Change your oil, get a new filter, or replace the engine. Let me ask you this. What would you rather do? Change your oil now? Or come to the end of the road and have to come back in another world with a new engine and start all over again? Because you see, somewhere down the road, you're going to have to deal with the oil subject. Communicate. Communicate. Husbands, wives, communicate. Become a part of each other. Come on, brother. Let's stand up just for a minute. And this is not a ritual, but I hear this in my heart. And I know your heart. How many really wants to communicate? I want to become. I want to become. Now here's the page 2, Paul Harvey would say. I am already everything that he says I am. It is now being raised out from the tombs of my thinking that I can grasp and act and do, speak exactly what I have become. Would you be so gracious as to just take somebody by the hand that's standing beside of you and say these words, I declare you to become. I'm serious. I'm serious. It's in your heart, say it in your mouth. It's in your heart, say it in your mouth. Yes, it's in the heart. It's in the heart. Speak it. Say it. Say it. I declare you to become. I declare you to become. I declare that the Christ be raised from the dead. Within your consciousness, you become. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Brother, before you start, I want to say that my youngest daughter just got out of rehab for drinking, and I.